Poets find joy in all the little things of life, like a phone going off unexpectedly while you're waiting to pick up your kids.
Suddenly my phone is just rumbling uncontrollably, and I noticed that one of the messages said had the word Pulitzer in it, and it was so utterly confusing and paralyzing.
What rhymes with Pulitzer? A problem you'd like to have, right? Well, poet Gregory Pardlow learned on April 20th that his latest collection of poems, a volume called Digest, that sold only 1,500 copies in its first printing, had won the 2015 Pulitzer Prize in Poetry. For this graduate student dad, it was a shocker that propelled him instantly to the front ranks of American poets. The Takeaways' Mithley Rao decided to go to Pardlow's Brooklyn streets and take a walk with the daydreaming boy from the hood who made good.
It was really quite a poetic scene. Pink cherry blossoms were drifting down onto the stoop of Gregory Pardlow's home in the Bedford-Stuyvesant neighborhood of Brooklyn as we sat outside talking about the shock of his newfound fame.
Every writer's familiar with the joke of when I win a Pulitzer, then all of this will change, you know, everything will fall into place. And so that's certainly a part of my family's narrative, although we never anticipated actually happening.
But then it did. And overnight, Pardlow became a local celebrity. The texts and emails kept pouring in on his phone, and people kept stopping him on the street to congratulate him. Even the local wine store got in on the excitement, advertising that it served the neighborhood of a Pulitzer Prize-winning poet. While we were sitting on a stoop, Pardlow's neighbor Sidolian Calloway stopped by to tease him about his win.
I was just telling him. I'm glad to have been inspiration to him, you know, being his next-door neighbor and a friend. This is wonderful. We're going to share this, you know.
Pardlow told me Digest was the little book that could, a book that he revised for several years as it was repeatedly rejected by publishers. The poems in the book reflect deeply on daily life in Bed-Stuy.
Soon gangs will jump in, initiates, one toothy clamp at a time.
One poem describes trying to find someone help him jumpstart his car.
And civilians will jump all over each other with reciprocal gifts and hugs, finding power where power is given, a residual lifting of the spirits in the act.
Yet another is about hitting tennis balls in the handball court a few blocks away from his home.
The graying father of two swatted a juggle of balls against the playground wall that had been graffitied for an episode of Law and Order set in the hood. The desiccated cat gut of his racket strummed like a junkyard harp. What I'm interested in this book is pushing through my dream of this landscape and the irony of, or not the irony, but the contradiction between my dream life and the, you know, I have to sort the recycling. It has to go out. These things don't stop. No matter how deeply in our imaginative lives one might live, as I do, I still have to paint and fix the toilet.
My own favorite is Problema 3, a poem that takes place in Bed-Stuy's main grocery store.
The Fulton Street food town is playing Motown, and I'm surprised at how quickly my daughter picks up the tune. And soon, the two of us, plowing rows of goods steeped in fructose under light, thick as corn oil, are singing, "Baby, I Need Your Lovin'," unconscious of the lyrics foreboding. My happy child riding high in the shopping cart, as if she's cruising the polished aisles on a tractor laden with imperishable foodstuffs. Her cornball father enthusiastically prompting with spins and flourishes and the double barrel fingers of the gunslinger's pose. But we hear it as we round the rice and Goya aisle, that other music, the familiar exchange of anger, the war drums of parent and child.
The poem goes on to describe the father's attempts to distract his daughter from that scene of verbal abuse by promising to buy her ice cream. His ploy is not entirely successful.
So I noticed the woman getting rough with her son. And we started singing. I started singing with my daughter as a way of distracting her from what was going on. But, you know, kids, they pay attention to everything. So she was curious. And so I was trying to come up with different ways of distracting to distract her. By the end, she wanted to try to see what that what that feels like. Because clearly this mother loves her son, and you know, is that something that people can do in loving families? Well, yes. Frighteningly, yes, it is.
I asked him about another recent scene of a mother harshly disciplining her child, this one caught on video in Baltimore.
Get over here, nut! Did you hear what I said?
Fox News dubbed Toya Graham Mom of the Year for grabbing and slapping her son after she saw him dressed in black with a rock in his hand, ready to join the riots. But Pardlow said the video saddened him.
Of course, she's saying she's protecting him from the police, not from sort of misbehaving or damaging property or any of that stuff. She knows that he's in danger. You know, I know what this mother is doing. I get it, right? She's smacking the crap out of this kid because she's terrified that he's not going to understand, not going to recognize the limits. So on one hand, you want to teach him those limits to protect him. On the other hand, it's heartbreaking they exist.
Those visible and invisible limits are the subject of the next pressing project on his list, his PhD dissertation, which is about the historical effects of slave-era practices that made it taboo for a black person to make eye contact with a white person.
How do we testify to what we see in the world and how what silences, certainly, you know, in a familial level and a societal level? What blindnesses do we teach our children, and how that becomes fact? You know, we end up literally not seeing things that are right in front of us.
Of course, the opposite is true in Pardlow's poetry. He starts by tackling what's immediately in front of him and then looks even farther.
For karma like that, you need a Winnebago covered with solar panels sprouting a fountain of jumper cables so you can spend your days suckling weary vehicles like an electric wet nurse. By your example, thugs would soon measure their cred by a tattooed lightning bolt under the eye to symbolize each battery they have sprung back to life.
Pulitzer Prize-winning poet Gregory Pardlow with the Takeaways Monthly Row. To hear more of Pardlow's poetry and to see photos of his neighborhood in Brooklyn, head over to our website, thetakeaway.org.